Rating America's Presidents. That's the title of a new book. It's very thick, and it's by a New York Times best-selling author who normally writes on subjects exposing radical Islam. His name is Robert Spencer, and his website is jihadwatch.org. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and we're going to focus on the subject of America's presidents. Robert Spencer, it's so great to talk to with you again. I'm so glad to have you back on.
It's always good to talk to you, Jerry. Thank you.
Sure. Now, this is a very interesting, almost detour from your normal work, but what inspired you to deal with the subject?
Yeah, you know, I was thinking that the left is at war with our history. This has been going on for some years, but it's obvious to everyone now with their tearing down the statues and so on. So I thought that with so many young Americans having been taught that America is this terrible racist entity that has been nothing but an oppressor for 200 years, or what is it, 400 years since their 1619 date, that's totally bogus, that there needed to be some pushback and a reminder of what made America great, what can make America great again, and who the American heroes are, as well as those who were not so good for America. Evaluating the presidents based on the principle of America first, who made America stronger and more prosperous, and who did the opposite.
All right, good. Now, the book basically has 46 chapters, because you rate each president. I say 46 because you took Grover Cleveland's two separate administrations and rated him separately, so in that sense. But it was interesting. I went through every single one of the presidents. I wrote down the numbers that you gave them using a 10 system, you know, like a 10 points is the highest you can be. You gave four presidents to be 10. Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, those don't surprise us. The other two were Calvin Coolidge, which, by the way, he's been really getting a renaissance, especially since that biography came out a few years ago. But he really was a great president. But the other one, I'm sure that's bound to cause some controversy, was Donald J. Trump. Okay, we can understand Washington, we can understand Lincoln, we can understand Coolidge even, if you're familiar with him. What's the deal with Donald J. Trump? Why would you give him such a high rating? And, oh, I should add that the man before him, President Obama, you rated at zero. So go ahead and explain, how did you use this criterion? And I guess it was along the lines of putting America first. Okay, I'm going to let you wax eloquence. I'm going to sit down and just shut up.
Well, that's exactly it, Jerry. America first. It was all about that from beginning to end. That's how I evaluated all of them. And Donald Trump gets the 10 because there were a number of socialist internationalists or people allowing the country to drift towards socialism, and certainly internationalists who believed in the ongoing massive expansion of the federal government. And the succession of these people preceded the presidency of Trump, starting with George H.W. Bush and then Clinton, George W. Bush, and Obama. We had four terrible presidents in a row who put the interests of other things, other countries, before those of the United States, and were essentially presiding over what has been called the managed decline of the United States, the gradual weakening of American economic power, military power, and political power. And Trump came in and turned all that around. He cut regulations, cut taxes, got the economy going, did it again after the coronavirus. And not only that, but he has extricated us from several disastrous international agreements that compromised our sovereignty, notably the Paris Climate Accord, which put the burden for solving this fictional problem of climate change on the United States while China pollutes at will, and The NAFTA agreement, which was responsible for the outsourcing of literally millions of American jobs, and he started to build up America's industries again, bring these back home. So when you're talking about who left Americans safer, stronger, more prosperous at the end of his term than at the beginning, even though Trump is still in office, it's obvious that he has set a very, very decidedly different standard from those of his the standards that his predecessors followed, and that's to the benefit of all Americans.
All right. You were pretty harsh on the Bushes. You gave Bush 1, that is the 41st president, George H.W. Bush, a 2, but you gave George W. Bush a 1. So Bush 1 got 2, Bush 1, 2 got 1. Your comments.
Yeah. Well, you know, George H.W. Bush, I think, got us involved in the military intervention that may make the least sense of any of the American military interventions. When President Trump talks about endless wars and wars that have no point, no purpose, no end goal, no possibility for victory, the quintessential example of that is one that we are no longer involved in, luckily, but that stands as the quintessential example of the dangers of what he's talking about, and that is George H.W. Bush's intervention in Somalia. There was no conceivable national interest. There was no reason for us to be there other than to help out the Somalis. And you might think, well, why shouldn't we help out the Somalis? That's all very well, but the United States does not have unlimited resources any more than any other country does. And while American infrastructure is crumbling and there remain Americans who are having trouble struggling themselves, they should be the focus, and this country should be the focus of efforts to improve the lot and life of various people, not other countries. It's only natural that, as President Trump has said, that the American president should be the president of the United States and not the president of the world. But George H.W. Bush, when he got us involved in Somalia, he was president of the world. There's a great more than that can be said, but George W. Bush made it all even worse, getting us involved in Iraq and Afghanistan after 9/11. Now, 9/11 was, according to a federal court decision that is very little known but is readily documented, and that is it declared that the Islamic Republic of Iran was in part responsible for 9/11 because it helped the hijackers get in and out of Afghanistan for their training and then back to the United States. That's hardly anybody knows that, but it's not some crazy conspiracy theory. This was established in federal court. Not only that, but the 9/11 Commission, of course, had the famous 28 pages about Saudi high-level involvement in 9/11. So Saudi Arabia and Iran, if you'd want to talk about nations who are implicated in the 9/11 attacks, they're the main ones. And George W. Bush invaded Iraq and Afghanistan. It would be as if FDR, after the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, invaded China. It was just the wrong response. And not only that, but he got us involved in these endless wars that we're still involved in Afghanistan, and even to some degree in Iraq. You know, this all started, as I show in the book, with Woodrow Wilson saying, we have to make the world safe for democracy. And what's never been explained is why exactly it is the responsibility of the United States to make sure that other countries have good governments. We should be taking care of our own people first.
All right. In the book, you have a handful of presidents that you gave a 0 rating to. Okay. And I'll go ahead and list the presidents and then have you wax eloquent on that point. James Buchanan, who was the president just before the Civil War, okay, in the mid-1800s. Also, Woodrow Wilson, whom you just quoted. You know, we need to make the world safe for democracy, says Wilson. Herbert Hoover, who obviously was president when the Great Depression hit, and that was difficult. Jimmy Carter, still alive today, and as mentioned before, President Obama. And you also put Clinton in that 0. So go ahead and tell us why the 0 rating for these 5 or 6 presidents, some of whom were Republicans, some of whom were Democrats.
Well, the thing is that I couldn't find any good things to say about their presidencies. There are some people who got ones, like Franklin Pierce and Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and both of them because there was just one thing you could say that they did well. Pierce balanced the budget, and FDR was an inspirational leader during World War II, although, as I show in the book, he made some very serious mistakes in his prosecution of the war.
By the way, Churchill did like FDR and felt he was a good ally. And it would also be true to say, wouldn't it, that since FDR encouraged people to realize, you know, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself, he helped people you know, in a sense, in a moral way or a morale. That would be the right word. He boosted morale during the Depression.
He certainly did. And so that's why he deserves at least the one. But the rest of his presidency, there's very little you can say that's good about it. And I think actually even Churchill was being a bit overgenerous, Jerry, because he had to sit there while they met with Stalin several times, and people don't know this here again, but Roosevelt kept on trying to appeal to Stalin, trying to bring himself closer to Stalin, and apparently one way that he thought he could do it was by repeatedly insulting Churchill and making him the butt of jokes. And Churchill, of course, there wasn't really anything he could do, wasn't any other place he could go.
Yeah.
But their close friendship has been decidedly overstated.
Huh.
In any case, the zero presidents, they, well, we can take Wilson. I already talked about his irresponsible internationalism. He also, here's yet another thing that's little known. Wilson was a professor for most of his life. And then 3 years before he was elected president, he ran for governor of New Jersey and won. And that was the extent of his political experience. And he, as a professor, wrote direct criticism of the U.S. Constitution, saying that this idea of a system of checks and balances just made for an inefficient government. And what we needed was a strong man, essentially a dictator.
Oh.
And then that would be the kind of government where we could really get things done. And so, you know, it's astonishing that somebody like that was able to become president. And then it's noteworthy that he was instrumental in the creation of the Federal Reserve, which, of course, is this shadowy oligarchy of people who are unaccountable, unelected, and who control the federal funds. And so even his Secretary of the Treasury, William Gibbs McAdoo, later in his memoirs in 1931, warned against the power of the Federal Reserve and said that they had the potential to be to exercise this disproportionate influence over the government, and that's something that's that Wilson is responsible for. Also, he was an opponent of the Constitution in other ways as well. He instituted sedition acts during World War I that essentially criminalized opposition to the war. Now, there were a lot of reasons not to get involved in World War One. World War One was not like World War Two, where there was this immense moral evil that everybody could see that we had to combat. World War One was not by any means that simple, and yet in opposing it, he actually put people in jail. And one of the best things that his successor Warren G. Harding did was free those people from prison, notably Eugene V. Debs, the socialist leader, but also Robert La Follette, who was a progressive Republican, was jailed for his opposition to the war. And so this is directly against the First Amendment. And to have a president of the United States behind operations of that kind is just a disgrace.
Let me ask you a question. Would it be fair to say, and we only have a minute left, this has been fascinating, would it be fair to say that the low-rated presidents, had a messianic complex? They kind of like, oh, I'm going to take over the world, or, you know, something to that effect.
Yeah, a lot of them did. Buchanan didn't, but the 20th century and 21st century zero-rated presidents, they certainly do have this tendency toward a messianic internationalism that they are going to save the world and America is going to save the world. What it ends up being in practice is that America's resources are drained for no good purpose and no genuine American interest.
Wow. Okay, we have 20 seconds. At the end of the day, what makes a good president versus a bad one?
At the end of his term, are Americans more prosperous, safer, better off in general than they were when he became president? That's the sole criteria.
All right, jihadwatch.org for more information to learn more about Robert Spencer's new book, Rating America's Presidents. Robert, always a pleasure. Thanks again for being with us.
Hey, thank you, Jerry. Always a pleasure indeed.
Okay, bye-bye now.